in a fleshly body to take back what was stolen. And so he told Jesus, he said, all this has been given to me, and all you got to do is worship me, and I'll give you all of it. I'll give you the fame, the fortune. I'll give you all of it. And we gotta understand, we got to make sure our children don't just go after fame and fortune. You ask 10 little boys, 10 little African-American boys, what do you want to be when you grow up? 7 out of 10 is going to say a rapper. Why? Because of the fame and the fortune. Amen. But you need to tell your child, no, you don't need to be a rapper, because that's short-lived. What are you going to do after rap? You can't rap your way into heaven. Okay, preach, preach. Let's go on to verse 10. And he said, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying in heaven. Now, when we talk about hearing this loud voice, the word voice is the word phone. There's a noise. There's an implication. So in other words, John is saying that I heard something that caught my attention. Not that there wasn't nothing going on around him, but this thing caught his attention. When you hear a word that comes from heaven, it should catch your attention. We got all kind of voices all around us, all over the world. You got the voice of the people. You got the voice of the devil. You got your own human voice in your spirit. But you got to hear God. In the midst of this war, you have to hear God. Amen. In the midst, you got to understand something. There's a war going on. And if you can't hear the commander, if you can't hear the person who's in charge of you, the squad leader, then you're in trouble, because you won't know how to react in the war. And it's important for us for this to get our attention, instead of us giving attention to everything else. And see, the devil is such a deceiver that he makes you focus on, let me focus on this. I need to focus on my finance. I can't focus on God. I can't focus on church. I don't even want to pay my tithe. I'm trying to get my money up. I need a car. Preach. He makes you focus on your relationship. It just ain't right. My relationship, he ain't acting right. She ain't acting right. I got to do this. I need to go there. I guess I better do this, because if I do this, then they'll be pleased when I'm missing church. I ain't going to church. I ain't doing that. I ain't even praying right. I ain't reading my Bible. I'm spending quality time. QT.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
And a praise for the third Lord's Supper experience today. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. Amen, 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 amen. The song that lingering in my spirit is not as old as the song I tried to sing last Sunday. But it's one that the older church knows well. Shackled by a heavy burden beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Since I met the blessed Savior, and since he washed and made me whole, I shall never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Yes. Oh, he touched me, and now, oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made, he made me whole. From the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Thank you for the touch, Lord.
Thank you. Verse 28, 29, and 30. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 30, verses 28 through 30. Recorded are these words: beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. But just a little while, I want to conclude the message. I have to tell it. Part three, I have to tell it. Paul is speaking by permission as a fool, for he's dealing with the flesh and speaking about those things he has endured for the cause of Christ. He's sharing with the Corinthians the love, beginning at verse 1, that he has for them. He's in a predicament where he wants to present them as a chaste bride to Christ. But there are some interferences that they are allowing, some doctrines and some personalities who are there with their own agenda. And somehow they are allowing those things to creep into their spirit. Paul continues on and he says, if there's any other preaching other than Jesus Christ, it's the wrong kind of preaching. If there's any other spirit other than that of the Spirit of Christ, it's the wrong kind of spirit. And if there's any other gospel other than this gospel, it's the wrong gospel. And he entreats them to let him tell his story, because they have allowed and permitted fools to come before them and to share their convictions and to tell their stories, and that they shared was not worth being shared with as it relates to eternity. And he says, I am no fool, but if the only way you'll hear me is if you think I'm a fool, well, let this fool speak. Let me tell you what I have to say. He says, because we have chosen to treat you honorably, to respect you, robbed other churches to make sure that we didn't take anything from you, so that your focus would be on the gospel and upon us being sincere in the presentation of the gospel. We didn't take anything, though it was our right to receive funds or earnings from you for ministering to you. But others came and misused you and abused you, afflicted you, offended you, and you accepted that. But that we did not do has been accounted for us being weak. And I know you've heard the adage, don't let your kindness be seen as weakness. You know, some folk take your kindness as weakness. And so sometimes when you do good, when you could do differently, folk think the reason you don't do it is because you're scared. But they wanted to make clear, Paul as the leader, that they wanted to do what they did because they were on a mission for Jesus Christ. And he starts in that 21st verse by saying, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. He says in this word reproach, I'm speaking concerning disgrace and shame. He said, because there is no disgrace in our game, and what we have done it for Christ, not because we have been weak. He said, howbeit whereinsoever any is bold, he says, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Then in verse 4, he says, are they ministers of Christ? Listen to what he says. I speak as a fool. I am more. Then he lists, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Now, here he begins to tell about the personal sufferings, because when we talk
in verse 28, he says, beside those things that are without. To begin there without you understanding this won't make much sense to you. So I've got to back up and tell you, beside those things that are without, what it referred to. And referred to these things, he says in verse 4, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. He says, why is this important for you to understand? Because he's talking about the things that he has endured, that he has gone through for, again, the cause of Christ. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. This word perils means risk or dangers. He said, when you look at all of these areas I've been in risk or danger of, he says the story doesn't stop there. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now he says, beside those things that are without, ought to help you a little better now. The things that he endured in the flesh, the things that he experienced, listen, on the outer portion of the human experience in this life, in this experience, he says, but that's not the all of the story. He says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now listen at this, my brothers and sisters, because he's speaking as a bishop now. He's talking as a real bishop, because if you're going to be a real bishop, you got to have more than one church.
All right.
I ain't never seen so many bishops with.
Tell him.
The text says that which cometh upon me daily. Which care of, what does your Bible say?
All the churches.
All. Not that which cometh upon me, the care of my church. So listen at what he's saying. If it weren't enough for him to go through verse 4 through verse 27, dealing with everything he had to deal with in his flesh, he's still in the spirit, in his mind, in his emotions, and all of those things that had to do with the spiritual context had to worry about taking care of the churches. He couldn't even suffer in peace because he had to worry about what was going on in all the churches. He knew the pastors of all the churches and the people, most of all the churches, and their troubles in all of the churches. And he, as bishop, had to go through dealing with, giving them an answer, praying for them, lifting up, exalting them, giving God a report on them. And he said, I couldn't even go through all that I had to go through without all of this coming upon me. When? Daily. I didn't get no break from being a bishop. I went through hell and had to keep the church right here. Next to my heart while I was going through everything I was going through. I couldn't get so involved in me that I forgot about them.
Amen.
Listen at me, somebody. You're not hearing me here. Paul is saying, listen, this thing goes far deeper than me. Notice he didn't brag on his accomplishments. He didn't brag on his education. He didn't brag on his training. He didn't brag on all of the things he had a right to brag on. But rather, he bragged on everything he went through for Christ. So then he asked the question, who is weak? Remember, he said in 21, I speak as concern of reproach, as though we had been weak. So he asked the question, who is weak? Now, it's a rhetorical question because Paul is advanced in age. He's sickly in his body. He's exhausted from the journey. And so then he turns to the folk who talk the talk but can't walk the walk. And then he asks the question, who is weak? And then he throws out, am I not weak? In other words, here's what Paul was saying. Go through what I've been through. And after all you've been through, then tell me at that point, wouldn't you be weak? See, I find out most folk on the journey aren't weak because they ain't been through nothing. They ain't been nowhere, and they've not had any experiences that drain their strength. See, a lot of times you don't really get to see how strong you really are till you use all of your strength, and then his strength comes in and strengthens you for the journey. Most folk never get weak because they never use all they got. In order for them to get a divine strength on the inside that literally does the work for them and through them and with them. He says, and I am not weak after all I've been through. In other words, I've got a right to be weak. But then this is where he brings it a little closer home. He says, who is offended? Because he just got through saying some rough stuff about them. They sitting there booted up, lips sticking out, frowning up like they smelling something bad. And he asked, who is offended? Because one thing he was telling was the truth. And you know how folk are when you tell the truth and they don't want to hear the truth? And you know how they are when you're telling the truth and the truth hits them? And you know how it is when you're telling the truth and the truth hits them and they try to act like you ain't talking to them?
All right.
Who is offended? Look at what he says. And I burn not. You might be offended, but I'm on fire. I'm on fire behind the foolishness that's displayed in the name of Jesus. And the folk that act like they are who they say they are and are nowhere near that, I burn with a righteous indignation. And so my brothers and my sisters, when he talks to them in an authoritative and arbitrary manner, he knew they couldn't say nothing. He was standing on truth. He was standing on what was real, what was solid, what was sound. And they might poke out their mouths, but they can't say much. Other than, you said something? No, ain't much they can say about that. And then look at what he goes on to say. He said, if I must need glory, I want you to pay attention to what I'm glorying about. He said, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Pay attention to that. You see, what real glorying Paul was talking about in the flesh was temporary.
All right now.
He says, and the truth of the matter is, if there's anything worth glorying about,
yes,
is what you go through for Christ.
Yes.
You've heard the song said, only what you do for Christ will last. And so when he talks here and when he speaks here about him glorying, if he would take the charge of glorying, it's not going to be in what most folk glory about.
Uh-huh.
Not going to be about his degrees.
Yeah.
All right.
Not going to be about the many languages he speaks fluently. Not going to be about the accomplishments and his philosophical debates on Mars Hills and him putting some of the best minds down with all of the rhetoric they brought. He wasn't going to brag on all of that stuff, but what he was going to brag about liked itself with Jesus. Because he made clear in Philippians chapter 3 that he wanted to know Jesus in the sufferings, the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to know Jesus in the most intimate way. And the only way you could really know him was to go through what he went through. And in going through what he went through, it helped you to identify on a personal basis the inner struggles. See, you can't know what it's like, truly like, if you ain't been there. When folk tell you, I know what you're going through, you say, oh, really? Have you gone through this before? Well, no. I know somebody. No. If you have not gone through it, you do not know what it's like. And so he wanted to know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering. So, all right, you want to know me that well? Here it is. Go through all of this. And then you become connected to me in such an intimate way, in such a tender way, in such a soul-searching way. Until Paul was given revelations. Abundant revelations. That no other man had received and was unlawful to him to tell anybody else. He had become so close to Jesus Christ till Jesus told him some stuff and said, don't tell nobody else. He shared with him some things that only those who could go through what he went through could identify with. And since at that point in time it was only Paul, he limited to Paul. See, my brothers, what you miss sometimes is God doesn't reveal intimate, secret things to those who don't spend no time with him. You have got to spend some time with him. You've got to go through some things for him. You have to stand up and represent. You have got to understand what he went through for you. And when you go through for him, then you can have partnership and fellowship through this median call suffering. And so he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine, nobody else's, infirmities, plural. All of the things, listen well, that he went through for Christ. Not stuff that he went through because he messed up and he made bad choices and he did wrong and the Lord paid him back. only that that he did for Christ.
Amen.
And he endured